Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Amen. Amen. Go to Joshua chapter 3 and remain there. We're going to look a few verses, but we're going to stay there for the rest of the night. Joshua chapter 3. And we're going to talk about today, walking in purpose. Matter of fact, I wanted to put steps of strength or walking in strength because that's our conference. And I just felt like I didn't want to do a prep to the conference, but I couldn't get away from the topic. I couldn't get away from the thought as I prayed and as I meditated. And so I was just saying, Lord, what are you walking us through this? What are you saying? And so walking with purpose. And when we talk about walking in the Word of God, and when we talk about step, we're actually saying the way you live out life. And so, but for today, I want to kind of get us in the same frame or making these decisions in our lives. And so one of the most famous steps that you've ever heard in your life, and one of the most famous walks happened in 1969, when obviously United States sent a crew to the moon. And so it's one of the most famous expressions and words that you've ever heard. I believe it was said by Neil Armstrong. Neil Armstrong said the following. You all remember, right? It's a small step for man and one giant step for mankind. And so he had made this declaration saying, hey, when I stepped out of the lunar module and onto the moon, something incredible happened. A level of progress happened that he had never seen before. Men became multiplanetary, out of this, only in the confinement of this earth. It was something amazing that transformed everything. There was a purpose behind it. And walking is an important process of the human nature. As a matter of fact, it's part of our DNA. Under normal circumstances, meaning you weren't born with a defect or issue, under normal circumstances, we all learn to walk in some capacity. No one had to really teach you that much. All of a sudden, at 9 months, 10 months, 11 months, you start getting certain strength to take certain steps. Those of us who've had the privilege of seeing our children take those steps, they're so memorable. Each one of my kids, it was different. Each one of my kids, there's a memory of when they did it and how they did it. And it was absolutely beautiful. And so we remember these things, but walking and taking steps is already written in our DNA. I want to tell you something, that taking spiritual steps is already written in the DNA of the Christian. It's already in there. And I want us to discover that tonight as we're getting ready to this conference, because I believe, once again, even though we prepare a conference to do this, there's prayer behind, there's that intentionality. We're stepping into strength because it's your right steps to do as a child of God. It is the right thing for you to do. And a lot of people don't know how to do it. How do I face it? Where do I go? Why? I want you to keep this in mind today, that steps. When we talk about steps, we're talking about meaningful, godly decisions that creates progress. I'll repeat that. When we're talking about steps tonight, we're talking about meaningful, godly decisions that creates progress. Every time you take a step, you're making a decision, remember, godly and meaningful, that will create progress in your life. And each step that you're doing, that is the emphasis you're putting behind it. It is not just walking for walking. And I feel a lot of Christians are just walking for walking and feel weak and tired of their walk because they're not walking with intentionality or purpose in the things that God has assigned them to do. And it's very important for us tonight to say, God, what have you assigned me to do? And when we read the story of Joshua, we see a man that we're given an order to lead a people that he didn't intend to lead. His whole life and design was, I'm called to serve Moses. Then one day God shows up at his prayer tent and says, hey Joshua, Moses, your servant, my servant, is dead. God showed up and gave him the news. So Joshua's like, all right, what are we doing? And then God says something so powerful, says, I don't want you to be afraid. When news like we heard today, when situations come in our lives, the first thing that grips us is fear. And the fear is this: what is my next step? What is the meaningful decision I'm gonna make with my child, with my marriage, with my business, with my health? So fear comes upon and God says, fear not. Fear not. I'm gonna give you something for you to move forward in life, for you to take intentional decisions that are godly, that will lead you to progress. You're gonna take those steps, Joshua. So Joshua starts gathering the people. He sends spies to the promised land. They've already crossed the Red Sea. You already know that they spent 40 years in the back of the desert. They move from the back of the desert to the front of the desert on the edge of the Jordan. And so, or they're almost there, 3 days away. And so he sends spies to Jericho. So they go into Jericho. That's when they go into Rahab's house. And you know the process already. And God tells them, hey, this is what we're going to do. And it's an amazing story. So they come out. They go back and report to Joshua, and Joshua said, okay, it's time for us to get ready. And this is where we find them in Joshua chapter 3. As they're getting ready, Jericho was the first city they took, but they had to cross the Jordan first. So they moved from 3 days away to the edge of the Jordan River, and they set up camp there, and they're getting ready to cross into the promised land. Let me tell you, many of us are already sitting camp on the edge of what God wants for us. But a lot of times we're not taking the intentional steps to reach what God has already told us we could reach. Are you with me tonight? Why? Because for the believer, if you don't get anything in from me, get this. For the believer, walking in faith is not an option, it's a calling. I'll repeat it. For the believer, walking in faith, it is not an option, it's a calling. And when we as believers shrink back and don't take the steps of intentionality, then what we're saying to God, the DNA you put in me, I'm not using. And I want to invite you tonight to shake yourself and go, you know what? It's already in me, so I am moving forward in the things of God in every area of my life. Are you with me tonight? It's so important. So important, because if not, then we will miss the plan of God for our life. Let's go to Joshua chapter 3. I'm reading the New Living Translation. Are you with me tonight? If I'm seeming a little intense, something in me woke up today, so hang in there with me. Joshua 3, 3-5 says this, after they've done the 3 days, says, giving these instructions to the people, when you see the Levitical priest, here's Joshua telling the people, carrying the Ark of the Covenant for the Lord your God, move out of your position and follow them. There's nothing you will ever do that's meaningful in life unless you have the presence of God with you. Repeat it. There's nothing meaningful that you will ever do in your life unless you have the presence of God with you. Now you can say, pastors, they are inventors that were never Christian. They've invented some of the things that we use. None of those things carry your soul into eternity. None of them. I love Elon Musk. I think he's the greatest inventor. He is the Einstein of our times. He's an amazing CEO. But nothing he does carries your soul into eternity. Makes earth life better. But he does not carry your soul into eternity. Only Jesus does. And only the presence of God does for our lives and in every area of our life. We got to start thinking different. So he says, when you see the presence of God, get ready. You get ready. Verse 4, since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. And this is why we feel fearful, like, I don't know what to do. Here's what Joshua's saying. When you see the presence of God, since you've never been where God is telling you to go, he will lead you into that area of your life. He will lead you into that decision. He will lead you into the process that you need for your life. But you got to trust and seek out the presence of God because you've never been that way. And it's so crucial for us to do that. When you've never been that way, you say, God, I need your guidance in this area of my life. It says this, to stay about a half mile behind them, keeping the clear distance between you and the ark, and make sure you don't come any closer. And this is not for the message today, but just that verse alone is so powerful. Let me tell you something. You and I have a privilege that the children of Israel didn't have. Right now, tonight, you and I enjoy the presence of God visiting us. The children of God had to walk half a mile away and see it from a distance. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I think we are too lackadaisical in the presence of God when we're in church and when we're in prayer and when we're in different areas. I am sorry, but the God of the New Testament is such a God full of grace. But these guys, they were desperate to get direction from God, and they didn't have what you and I have. So when you come into the presence of God, honor him. Honor him. Say, God, I'm here tonight, man. I'm going to give you all I got. I don't got much. Work was hard. My boss was difficult. My kids made it. But I'm here tonight. I'm going to give you all I got because you are worthy of everything I have in every way. I need it. I need it. Verse 5, then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. So here's the first thing. The first thing, to walk with purpose in life and with strength, you need preparation. You need preparation. A lot of people walk life with no preparation. And that doesn't mean your educational level, because a lot of people say, Pastor, oh, I feel dumb. No. Let me tell you, when you read the book of Acts, she just read it, when he healed the people, Peter and John, the people of the town went crazy, and the Pharisees said, these men, we can tell by the way they talk, by the way they speak, they're not learned men, but we can see they've been with Jesus. Oh, they knew. They knew something was different because there was a preparation process in their lives. And so I'm inviting you today, even as we go into this weekend, those who signed up or you will sign up or you decide not to come, it doesn't matter. What I'm trying to do is whatever in your life you're trying to step into, you need to create a process of preparation in your life. You got it. You got to get in that mode of I'm getting ready for the presence of God. I'm making a space for the presence of God. I'm getting ready in my life and the areas of my life. Why? Because if we're walking away, if we're doing things without preparation, we're going to end up going in a place that we're not ready for. And that makes life difficult. And in this case, it was their holiness. They needed to be clean. They needed to prepare their lives. It's so crucial. In a kind of funny, dumb way, I don't like hiking. Don't judge my body type. I just don't like walking to no end. My wife loves hiking. Oh, look how beautiful it is. And we go in the desert. I'm like, this is just dust everywhere, mountain. I don't enjoy this stuff. But she knows I love water. So she'll tell me, hey, we're going on a hike. And at the end of the hike, there's a river, a waterfall. So I'm like, all right, I'll go because I'm going to jump in, freshen up. I love water, whichever kind, lake, river, beach. I love water. So we're visiting her family in Tennessee, and so she goes, oh, I looked online. There's a beautiful, famous waterfall, and so let's go for it. It's a three-mile hike. I was like, yeah, I can do that. I'm healthy and strong. I can do that. The thing is, I assume it was a three-mile hike, but when we get to the place at the trailhead, it says 2.9. Man, 3 miles one way. One way. We weren't ready for that, my friends. I wasn't ready for that. Mentally, physically, didn't have enough water, didn't bring backup snacks, none of that stuff. I run on snacks. So I'm like, man, I have no fuel, I have no water, there's nothing here, right? My line is always, if you ever seen Kung Fu Panda, is, as a Kung Fu Panda, I need more than the dew of the universe to be sustained. And so I'm just, you know, going there. So I'm like, okay, let's go. You know, my kids, my family, we're all going up. And so let's go. My kids, obviously, super strong, healthy. They leave us way behind. We're just dragging up. And, you know, I'm trying to hide my pain because I'm the man. So I'm like, I'll help you, honey. Inside, I'm dying. I'm just destroyed. So we make it all the way to the top to the waterfall. It was nice, but it was like, eh, okay, I've seen better. We make it all the way to the top, and like an hour and a half later, 2 hours took us to go up and an hour and a half down. So 2 hours later, we make it, and it's so interesting. When I was talking about encouragement with you guys, I share that, you know, when people are passing by, they will encourage you. You'll be walking, and they're like, oh, you're 40 minutes away. You're like, okay, I can do it. Oh, you're 20 minutes away. The people are coming down, and one guy's like, yeah, you're 15 minutes away. Half hour later, I wasn't to the 15 minutes, he said. So, liar. And so finally we make it up there, and then we come back down, and so we're doing the same. The thing is, the next day, my friends, even my hair hurt. I was like, what is happening? I need more gel. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready physically. I wasn't ready mentally. I do physical stuff, but this was different. This was a different level. And a lot of times we do life that way. We have an idea of something we like and we want to achieve that, but we don't understand the process and we don't get ready for the process. And we find ourselves and boom, we're not ready for what's happening. And in God, righteousness and purification and our consecration to the Lord is important for the process of stepping in strength. Because otherwise, the enemy will use that against you. The enemy will come and accuse you of all kinds of stuff. And the Lord is saying, hey, let's prepare so that we can walk. And they say, no, enemy, that's my past. I already gave it to God. No, you're not going to put me in that position. That's already been forgiven. No, you're not going to put me there. Why? Because you've prepared your soul for the things of God. Are you with me today? Psalmist says this. You can give a clap to the Lord. Amen. You can do that if you're excited. Psalm 37:23 says this. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights, watch this, he delights in every detail of their life. Can you imagine a God that delights in every detail of your life? Who would say, I want to help you in whatever you need. Well, Father, what I need is a fridge. I'm ready to help you. Sounds dumb, right? Sounds like, whatever. The Bible says, the Word says, he delights in every detail of your life. Don't over-spiritualize it. Your Father has it. Your Father has it. And so you got to trust your Father in everyone, not just for physical, but for emotional. God, what I feel is loneliness. I lost my partner, my husband, wife, and whatever it may be. Just, God, would you mean that for me? My father hasn't. Wow. Psalm 37 right there, verse 30 and 31. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, not just foolishness, wisdom. And his tongue talks of justice. Verse 31, the law of God is in his, what's that, church? In his heart. None of his steps shall slide. None of it. I think I read a version that said his ankle won't get twisted on the steps. What an amazing thing, saying when you delight yourself, God will walk you through it. So you need preparation. Here's the second thing I want you to get ready in your heart. You need faith. And faith sounds so simple and so, you know, I think I've said in my last few messages that I preach, I talked about faith. I am lately on a faith journey in my own personal life. Because what I'm seeing in America and what I'm seeing even in our Latin community is people have become too far dependent on trusting what everyone else says, and they haven't grown in their own faith and belief in God and experience. And we got to go back to believing God for ourselves and say, I know he's real. I've seen what he's doing in my life, and I will continue in that. Are you with me today? Because otherwise, the enemy can come and rob that from you. And so you yourself, you have to build that faith inside of you with the word of God, with the trusting of the things of God in every way possible. One of my favorite movies, some of you guys might be younger than that, and I might be old as some of us, but Indiana Jones, the early versions, there's one of my favorite movies. And so I believe when he was looking for the Holy Grail, which was supposed to be the cup of Jesus, he's trying to go into this temple and so find the cup where Jesus drank from the Holy Communion. So he's doing this whole journey. And in one of the most famous scenes, he stands in front of this gap. His dad has been shot and is dying. So he needs the water from the fountain and the cup of Jesus to heal his dad from a bullet wound. So the scene is amazing. It's Sean Connery, is his dad. And so he is coming to step. And so he comes to this place where there's this big chasm. And the Holy Grail is on that side. And then he says this phrase. He looks at this book, which it was like the ancient Egyptian, and it says the following. He says, this is called the leap of faith. And then you hear Sean Connery says in a voice, he's far, but he says, you got to believe in me. And so he says, I need to take a leap of faith. And all of a sudden you see he makes this big step. The music is so cool. I didn't have the video for you guys, but imagine all the orchestra, and you're super focused. And so you're so into it, right? And so the guy takes a step, and all of a sudden he goes, wow, and takes a step, and boom, all of a sudden a whole walkway appears. And the camera shifts to super cool special effects from back in the day. The young ones sound like, we've had Matrix and cooler stuff, whatever. And so he comes and does that. But I remember that scene so crucial because the teaching was, you got to have faith to take a step to move forward. And a lot of people feel that they want the bridge to appear before they take the step. But the lesson is, you take the step and then the bridge appears. And that's the reality in our lives. Come on, you can praise God for it. That's the reality in our lives. You take the step and the bridge appears. Joshua 3, here's God telling Joshua and telling the people. He says the following, says, give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there. Ooh. God, bro, I like my feet dry. God, I want the miracle to happen before that. No. Take a few steps into the river and stop there. This is why the instructions of God are so important for every area of our lives. The instructions in his words, the guidance of your pastors and leaders, the guidance of men and women with wisdom are in your heart, and even your own Christian son and daughter of God ear to hear the voice of your father, because my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. All those things are important for every Christian, because when you hear the instructions, then you can follow the steps. Joshua 3:13, New Living Translation, the priest will carry the ark of the Lord and the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, once again, the same rule, the flow of water will be cut off upstreams and the river will stand like a wall. Now, I'm going to tell you something. To us, this sounds like the coolest story ever, but I want you to do something with me, an exercise. If you were there hearing Joshua tell you for the first time, what would your reaction be? See, when we read the Bible as a historical book, these guys were living it. These guys were living it. Now, some of them had faith because they had seen the Red Sea parted. They have heard the stories because they're all dead, the ones that came through the Red Sea, except for Joshua and Caleb. So they have heard the stories. They had seen some amazing things in the desert. But what would you do? And this is what's important about the instructions of God, because some of us will just be paralyzed. And Joshua is saying, no, I'm going to give you some instructions. You're going to get in the water. And this is what God says. When you get in the water, then all of a sudden, the water will stop. And those instructions, my friend, are so powerful. Let me give you some that the Lord puts for us. And this is will lead me to my next point. It's very important. The Lord talks about the order of marriage. And a lot of times through the marriage, our way, not the Lord's way. I know you don't like that. It's okay. Pastor Dan will preach next week. Somebody else will. The Lord talks about finances. And he says, you have to trust me. You have to be a giver. I love cheerful giver. But we still refuse to do so. We have faith. We believe there's a God. So many areas. God says, pray and do not cease. And all of us, including myself, have come to some points in our lives where I said, God, I've been praying for this thing for years. I'm exhausted. And he said, don't give up. Don't give up, son. Don't give up, daughter. Keep praying. Are you following me? This is why it's crucial. This is why we go back to faith, believing that God is at work. And here's why. Because for the believer, walking in faith, it's not an option. It's a calling. It's what you were made for, is to believe God and step in every area of your life in faith. Very, very important. Why? Because faith, when I have faith, then that leads me to the third thing for tonight, and it's trust. And you would say, Pastor, aren't the same thing? No, they're not the same thing. Faith is a belief system of what God has spoken, but trust is the action that I take behind that belief. It is so important. Believe, the faith is, I believe that trust is saying, I'm going to go for it. And this is what Indy did. Indy said, hey, this is a leap of faith. If I trust it, then I'll take the step. And a lot of times, this is where a lot of Christians get stuck. I have faith in God, but I don't trust everything he says. And right now, for us to step in strength and walk, I got to go, God, not only do I believe you, I trust you. I'm going to trust you in every way of my life. I'm going to trust you, God, that you have something better for me that I don't even know. I don't even know how I'm going to do this. I don't even know. I remember when I had to walk away and put the dream aside of becoming a surgeon. I remember I finished my dental career, finished my graduation. I come to the States. I'm about to enroll in Loma Linda, or working through the process of enrolling in Loma Linda in the International Dentist Program. I'm doing all these things. And so I remember when we started La Roca, but that doesn't mean I was going to stay the pastor. I assume we're going to start a ministry and things are going to go on while I keep working on this. And I remember one day in prayer, a couple years into it, where the Lord told me, I want you to put that aside. I remember it was the hardest thing to do. And you know what it was? It wasn't even so much giving it up. It was so much the fact that I didn't have a backup plan. That was my backup plan. My backup plan was gone. Like, what do I do without a backup plan? What do I do now that God is not giving me a solution to my situation, to what God wants me to do? And that's really difficult. And many of us say, God, I trust you, but I got to have a backup plan. And God is saying, no, I'm going to work in your life. I'm going to, because it's in you. It's your DNA. Are you with me tonight? Are you scared enough to trust God? Amen. You got to trust him. Joshua 3:14-16 says this. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them, just like Joshua said. Verse 15, and it was the harvest season. I love this description of the writer of Joshua. He says, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. Here's what the writer's telling you. The river was deeper and bigger than at any other point in the year. Why is it God sent me to do something when it's the worst time that I can plan? Hello? It's always the worst time. It's always you feel, it cannot be now. It cannot be now God is asking me to give something when I've already saved for XYZ. Cannot be now. It cannot be now when God is asking me to forgive a person that I'm waiting for justice to happen because that's what's got to happen. God say, let him go. Not a lot of amens there, but hold on. God's speaking to you. Overflowing his banks. It says, but as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water of the river's edge, watch this, the water above that point began backing up to a great distance away to the town called Adam, which is near Sarethan, and then the water below at that point flowed back onto the Dead Sea riverbed. This is crazy. And so the whole people of Israel crossed over near the town of Jericho. Let me just say it this way. If you don't get anything from tonight, get this. Many wait for the water to part before they walk, but the water parted when their feet touched when their feet got wet. And let me say it this way. Walk into your purpose as if God is going to remove the obstacle. Walk into your purpose as if God is going to remove the obstacle. God, this is what you're going to do for me. I'm walking. You're going to move the obstacles. Walk into your purpose in that way. Let your feet get wet. Make the commitment. Make that decision. Make the phone call. Do what you got to do, but push past what's holding you back in every way. Don't shrink back. I feel the air of God for his children. Don't shrink back. You push forward. You push forward in every area of your life. I know it's difficult, but you know what? God, I'm letting my feet get wet because I know you're going to open that water. I don't know what that means. I don't know if it's a business investment. If it's a conversation you got to have. Maybe you haven't had a conversation with somebody and you're at risk, man. I don't know if it's going to happen. This is important. I even, in our premarital counseling, this is something I always tell our couples when they're in premarital counseling with me. I always say this phrase. I would say, you can always say no until you say, yes, I do. Because people are afraid to have the difficult conversations, but then they wait the worst moment to have the difficult conversations. This place got quiet. How many people are engaged? No, don't do that. I've had that point. My wife and I had many conversations before we said I do. But once we said I do, we're going to this until death do part. And we've had some doozies. She's not here tonight, so I can say a bunch of things. She's actually laying there, and she's coming back from church. So it's just what it is. So we work it out. We get our feet wet in the process, and we go for it. So I want to invite you tonight. God is inviting you, not just me. God is inviting you to take this step. Here's the last one. You have energy for one more? Walk in the purpose. To walk in this purpose, you need grace. You need grace. You and I, at some point, will probably won't do it perfectly. We won't. But God's still inviting you to take a step of strength and forward. God's still inviting you to make godly decisions that push progress forward in your life. And so you have to take the step, and you have to do it with grace in every way. You know what? Peter took a step. He got out of the boat in faith. He said, man, I'm going to do it. Jesus, if you tell me, I'll do it. I remember when I was young, I'd tell him, Lord, wherever you set me, I was so on fire for God, and I'm ready for mission, until life got more complicated. And then I was like, I'm still on fire, but I'm not sure I want to do that, this. I got selective all of a sudden, right? So what your passion is. So Peter's like he's just on fire. Tell me. And so he gets out of the boat, and he goes for it. And guess what? He starts sinking. His faith lacks. And so he starts seeing the problems. And Jesus, yes, rebukes him, but Jesus does something else. Stretches his hand and saves him. That's grace. The power of God manifested in your weakness. And so for all of us, don't stop taking steps of progress in your life just because you feel you're going to fail at some point. Go for it. And let God stretch his hand even when you're in a difficult situation. Let him reach out and say, come on, let's do it. Let's go. Let's move forward. Let's take a step once again. Let him reach. But we got to take a step. We got to believe once again. We got to risk some things in our lives. We got to teach our children to risk some things in our lives. And in their lives, we got to teach them how to do these things. Because you won't always be there. And they got to learn. Some parts of life are difficult, but you can do it. I can see you succeeding. I know you're going to get it done. Bless their relationship. If you never bless your children or your relationship with them, bless them. Tell them, I bless you, man. I bless your wife. I bless your children. I'm so proud of you. Bless them. Stay in the hand of grace, because they won't always do it perfect. Amen. They need correction. Please don't hear me wrong, but they also need grace. And Jesus does both, and God does both. Hey, son, you got to rearrange this part of your life, but I'm going to help you. I'm going to show up in your need. God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it shows up when I really, really need it in every area of my life. Praise God for it. I'll end with this. Joshua 3:17 says, meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Let me say it to you this way. God is not going to let the waters come upon you and overwhelm you in the middle of your walk in the riverbed. He's not abandoning you tonight, and he won't abandon you later. You've got to believe that grace will show up in each area of your life. Just stood there. The priest in the presence of God, they stood there and held the waters until everyone walked through. God is holding the waters for you, but you got to step through. Notice he didn't make anybody come. He didn't say, I'm going to build a bridge. He said, get your feet wet. Follow my presence. I'll hold the water, but you walk. I'll hold the water, but you take the meaningful, godly decisions to produce progress in your life. You take the step. Because in the end of this, and at the end of all this, taking steps of faith is not an option for us believers. It's a calling, and it's our DNA, and it's inside of us in every area of our lives. Are you ready to take a step of faith in every area of your life? Can you give God a praise tonight? So important. Let's pray tonight, right where you're at. Start asking, Lord, where have I lacked this? Lord, have I shrank back from taking steps of faith in some areas of my life? Have I not been bold enough? Would you give me the boldness? Maybe you're saying, Pastor, I have faith, but I haven't trusted God. Sometimes that's difficult. Maybe you say, Pastor, I'm afraid that grace won't show up when I take the step. God is saying, I'll be there. I won't let the waters collapse on you. Trust God. How about this? The reality is I know steps I got to take, but I haven't been prepared. I got to get ready. I got to get my life ready. I got to make a heart ready. I got to prepare. Whatever that may be, the Lord is at work tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Talk to him. Ask him. Any of this spoke to you in any way? Father God, we say thank you. Thank you for your amazing grace, Lord, that shows up when we actually need it. But Lord, what we're saying is fill us with boldness today to take steps of strength, to walk in strength and in faith and in boldness in every area of our life. We will not shrink back. Not because in our strength we can do it, but we're declaring tonight because you want us to do it, we're going to trust you and step out in faith. So talk to your children in every area right now about their walk with you so that they may take those steps they need today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you give God a praise if he spoke to you tonight? How awesome. You know, before we move on tonight, I want to make sure that your life is all right with God. I want to make sure that you are walking in each area of your life. You know what? I feel a boldness in my life. I don't need to stretch this moment very long. I believe that if you're here tonight and you know God has spoken to you and you know you're not right with God, meaning you've never given God all of your life, and all of your soul, and you haven't walked with God, tonight is your night of salvation. It would be a shame for you to say, I don't want you, God. I want nothing to do with God, when he already sent his son to die on a cross because he loves you. That's why he died, because he wants the best for you. What God doesn't do, listen, God doesn't do, he doesn't play religion. He doesn't want you to be bold over there, bold maybe in life, but shrink away. Tell you that you need Christ. It's a humble step of humility to say, I need God. And would you tonight decide, hey, I need to follow Christ in every area of my life. And that's the decision he's inviting you to do today. He didn't shy away. He took the steps all the way to the cross. He carried it for you and me. Here's what he wants. He wants you to acknowledge it before men. He wants you to say, I need that. And in a moment, it's how we do at our church. I count to three, I clap my hands, and you raise your hand when you hear that number three. Here's what you're saying by raising your hand, saying, I need Jesus. I've been playing with God, and I want to get my life right today. Walking for salvation, in salvation. Today is your night of salvation. And so when I count to three, you raise your hand, and that's you. Never done it, tonight is your night. How about this? Maybe you did it, but your life does not represent what you said with your mouth. Pastor, I did that prayer a long time ago, but I've done my life my way. I'm in a mess right now. I need to restart once again. That's your night. And how about this? You know that God is speaking to you right where you're sitting. You know, I'm not right with God. I got to get my life right. I got to give him all my heart and all my life. I want to commit myself for salvation to Jesus today. And so tonight, that's your night. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to clap my hand, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with. And I'm going to invite you to pray with us this very night, saying, God, I am in need of you, and I want to start a new life. If that's you tonight, in a moment, we're going to do it together. Ready? That's you. Don't ignore God. Don't ignore. I feel like pushing you on that. Don't ignore God. Hear what God is saying, and in faith and trust, let him know. That's you tonight. If you've never done it, if you did it, but you need to recommit, tonight is your night. One, two, and three. Is there anyone in this place? This is your moment of salvation. Say, hey, Pastor, that's me. That's me. I see your hand. God bless you. Absolutely. You can put your hand out so you don't get tired. God bless you. I see you right there. Amen. Great decision. I see you over there. I see you on this side, right? Yeah. God bless you. How awesome. It's four hands that I've seen around. That's you tonight. It's your moment of salvation. You say, hey, that's me. I need Christ. I'm so in need. I don't want to walk out of this place without getting prepared in my soul. They're pointing. I see you. I see you over there, right? I'm pointing at the right person. Absolutely. It's awesome. I see you too. God bless you. I see the child. Bring him with you. You can put your hand down. Absolutely. How beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone else? This is your moment of salvation. It's your moment to say yes. They're pointing at me over here. Yeah. I saw you. Awesome. That's good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How beautiful. I see you. Precious. God is so good. It's not a show. It's between you and God. You're being bold and you're saying, I'm not leaving this place until I get my life right in Christ. And in a moment, we'll all pray together. Is there anyone else tonight? Anyone else? God bless you. Yeah, I see you right there. Beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's give God a praise for those beautiful 6-7 hands. I don't know. I lost count. This is what I want to do. I want to personally pray with you and then give you something that's going to help you take that walk. When we talk about walking, they're going to help you do this walk in strength and in faith. And here's what we're going to do. The moment we're all going to stand, when we're all stand, don't leave anything in your seat. Bring everything you have with you. If you need a friend, bring a friend and meet us right here so we can pray together. Let's stand and welcome. Get out of your seat. Even if you didn't raise your hand, make your way and say, you know what? I need that prayer. I got to give my heart and my life to Jesus. Can we welcome them? Can we welcome them tonight? Just get out of your seat and say, I'm going after Christ. Even if you didn't raise your hand tonight, I want to pray with you. It doesn't matter. Tell them, hey, get out of the aisle. Let me out. I want to pray tonight. I need Christ. If you need a friend, tell them, hey, would you come with me? I need somebody to walk with me. God bless you. I need somebody to walk with me. Take that walk. This is your moment. We'll wait for you. God bless you, family. God bless you. Good job. God bless you. God bless you, man. This is your moment of salvation. This is your moment. Welcome them. You can come out of your seat and meet us right here. Thank you. God bless you. God is so good. So beautiful. It's your moment of salvation. Thank you. We'll wait for you. It's okay. You're taking time. Let's greet them. How beautiful. How awesome. God is good. Not in a rush for a soul. Thank you, Lord. Good job, guys. Good job. How awesome. Hey, in a moment, we're all going to pray. Even if you didn't raise your hand and you need to come out, just get out of your seat. You say, man, I'm heading there. I need God tonight. In a moment, you're going to do a prayer. And this prayer is not a magical abracadabra. Come on, we got time. It's not a magical abracadabra. Here's what you're saying when you do this prayer tonight. When you do this prayer tonight, you're saying, God, I need you. I want to ask you to forgive me. I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. You're acknowledging the condition of your soul, and you're changing. Yeah, there's time. You're changing the condition of your soul tonight. Let's pray together. Come on, join in. Let's agree. Repeat after me. Say, Father God, I repent of my sin, the wrongdoings I've committed against you. But tonight, I give you my life for you to be my Lord and my Savior. For you to be the leader of my life. I want to walk how you walked. So give me the strength by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on. Awesome. Good job. Listen, Pastor Joel, one of our leaders here, he's going to give you that information. He's going to help you walk. If you've never done this, give him 5 minutes of your time. He'll talk to you, and then you'll come right back out, and you got yourself a meet with your family, and we're all going to be praying for you. So just follow him. Get that information. You come right back out. Nothing weird happens. In 5 minutes, you'll be out. Come on, give God a praise tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're so good, Father.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.